You know, who's the next great? Who's the great players now that are not tainted? And it's these young guys that are just really starting their blossoming major league careers. Manny Machado, Bryce Harper, Mike Trout, guys like that. And I think it's great that he's vocal about it. And he's not the only person.
How's McCutcheon?
McCutcheon, I think he's 26.
Okay. He's impressive. Right. He's still fairly young.
Yeah, I mean, he's young too.
But it's nice to get it from kids that young. From Trout. Trout's, what's he, 21, 20
he's
years old?
He's 22 or 23 now.
Well, they're young enough to be idealists still, which is good. And it's nice that they're clean, and I hope that they continue that through their career.
It's true, but, you know, I don't – look, let's put it this way. When everything went down with Bonds in the early part of last decade, when he, you know, broke the home run record and people were talking about steroids, and they're talking about, well, I can't wait for A-Rod to break the home run record because he's obviously clean. He wasn't.
Huh, yeah, no, right.
He wasn't. I'm not saying this to point a finger at Mike Trout and saying that he's not clean, but nobody then came out and said what Trout said. No players did that I can remember. There might have been a couple, but I don't think they had the star power and the recognition of a player like Mike Trout. And I think that goes a long way. And he's not the only person that thinks that if you are caught using this one time, that you should be banned from baseball. And I've had conversations with people that have been attached to the game in the major leagues for decades, and they think that if you really want to ban steroids from the game, then you do it one strike and you're out, and the team that guy plays for gets penalized as well. Either, I don't know how, losing draft picks or there's some penalties that you can lay on them for having a player that
does
that.
Make it like hockey
that.
And make them play without that roster spot for the rest of the season.
But how do you do that in baseball if the organization's unaware of?
It puts the impetus on the organizations to make sure they're running a clean
clubhouse.
To
investigate their own ship.
I get a little nervous about the thought of of players being spied upon by their own team, and you know that's what Steinbrenner did, you know, on Dave Winfield in the 80s, and he got in trouble because of that. So again, but I mean, this is the kind of thing where it's refreshing to hear this coming from big time players' opinions.
Anybody can make it work. I think anybody can get what they want, but you got to put the hammer down. I think the same thing for bench clearing brawls. You get in a bench clearing brawl, you leave the bench area, you're suspended for 25 games. They put a hard enough penalty on it, guys won't do it anymore. So if baseball really wants to stop that crap, whether it's PEDs, bench-clearing brawls, whatever, they can do it.
The players can place themselves and get this taken care of.
Agreed.
Well, the Players Association sounds a lot different now than it did 12, 10 years ago when they were tight-lipped about it, talking more about players' privacy and stuff like that. You don't hear that necessarily as much now. They're still interested in making sure that the players' privacy is able to stay where it should, but at the same time, they also don't want this cloud of suspicion over all the players. And it's unfortunate that all the guys that played from that era, whether it's believed or not, I mean, they played in that era, and I get the sense that sometimes people will just look at them and say, well, they played in the steroid era. They must have been using.
The wheels of justice move slowly. Luckily, logic is rising to the forefront, which is good.
Steve Martin, 68.
Yeah, we got that.
Oh,
yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's okay.
Daylight and a dollar short, Justin.
I mentioned that, but you were actually giving the prize away when I did, so that's okay. Going to hear from Click Conk in a second. Reminder, but again, 15,000th game in Travelers history tonight, 7:05 first pitch?
7:10.
7:10? Okay.
Yeah.
Get there early, 7:05.
Yeah, why not?
There you go. Click Conk yesterday, UCA Media Day, team that is ranked in the top seven in any poll you look at. A lot of expectations this year, as always, even more so now. Coach Conk certainly excited about the team he has coming back.
Well, Coach, depending on which poll you look at, seventh or sixth, but regardless, you're in the top 10 here in the preseason. And, you know, I was thinking about it today. It's been a steady progression for your program. I mean, you moved to Division I. You know, you work into the playoffs. You make a little damage in the playoffs. You guys get some great experience against FBS schools. I mean, it's a natural progression, which means this year there should be some big things in store.
Well, it's really been exciting last 6 or 7 years. You know, a great deal of the credit goes to our administration for giving us the opportunity to make this move and, you know, provide us the resources that we need. And, of course, our assistant coaches and our football players. We've got a great group of kids this year, but, you know, they've been some record setters and some pioneers that have come through over the last 6 or 7 years. It's put us in a position, really, kind of a benchmark opportunity for our team heading into the 2013 season.
awfully nice having an experienced quarterback, especially a guy with the skill set that Winrich Smothers has. And I know you've got a good solid backup or two that you've been able to put into the fold. But just talk to me a little bit about the offense. I know there's been some frustration maybe in the early camp, but some of the goals and what your expectations are on that side.
Well, there's been a little bit of frustration, certainly, but I think that may have a lot to do with the way our defense is playing right now, which is really exciting. But, Winrich Smothers, a fifth-year senior out of Destrehan, Louisiana, couldn't be more pleased with how he played last year, his preparation in the offseason heading into this camp. And certainly he has high expectations for himself, and we'll go as he goes. But he's got to have a little bit of help, and we are retooling at a couple of positions at the skill positions on offense. We're a little beat up on the offensive line, which is causing, some continuity issues right now. But, it is what it is. When we get all of our people back, we'll be able to move forward in a positive way offensively. But I'm really excited about the defense.
We'll talk about that in just a second. But let me ask you about Winrich as far as speaking of progressions, what's the next thing for him? What can he do to get to another level in this offense?
Well, he and I talked extensively over the last several weeks down at conference media days in Lake Charles and then prior to camp and then the other night as well. And, he took over as a first-year starter last year and had a bevy of veteran receivers, of course, led by Dominique Kroom, who's still with the Cleveland Browns right now. With that said, outside of Desmond Lewis, we're awfully talented, but a little short on experience. So the quarterback's going to have to make the receivers this year. I think the receivers really helped ease Winrich in last year. So, he's going to have to step up, be a little more poised, a little more accurate, take a little bit more even of a leadership role on the offensive side of the football because, the other 10 guys are looking to him.
Defensively, you talked about it. I know you're excited about it. A lot of speed and athleticism over there and quite a bit of experience. And really one of the bright spots is just a sophomore on the defensive line, but just really talented all three levels.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we bring back 8 bona fide starters on the defensive side of the football, and I think 15 total that have started games here at the university. So, Jonathan Woodard, 6'6", 271 pounds. He was the freshman of the year in our conference and, of course, freshman All-American. And his offseason was very good, and certainly he's been a dominant force in camp. And, it's just exciting to think about the opportunities he's going to have this year to help, lead our defensive front and our defense as well, but also the next couple of years down the road because he's still learning how to play the position. And big good-looking young man that's running, can run, and he's very athletic and very smart, good high football IQ. So you got Matt Hornbuckle up there, Markeith Gaines, players at Justin Hurd, Radarius Winston at the second level, and then on the back end you've got, kids like Justin Love, who's a 3-time all-conference player. So you can see why we're having a little bit of confusion on the offensive side of the ball, particularly with a few offensive linemen out.
You're about 2 weeks away. When do you start moving into game preparation for that opener on Thursday night?
Next week. We have a major scrimmage on Saturday, and we'll start, game planning and narrowing things down personnel-wise and getting ready for our first opponent on the 29th, and then, of course, a turnaround to the University of Colorado the second week. So, we've got an awful lot of work to do, though. I mean, we're very focused on ourselves right now and our process, getting some kids back healthy and on the field. We're still installing a few aspects left in our kicking game and, trying to continue to identify those newcomers that have an opportunity to impact our football team this year. But we'll have all that narrowed down by Monday of next week and start game planning in earnest and, getting the personnel in the right places.
It's a great conference race as well. And, I know you're worried about, Incarnate Word in your opener and then, again, transitioning into that second game in the first road game. But when you look at the overall of this conference in the preseason, you guys are picked second behind Sam Houston State, a team that's, again, you talk about a team that's been to a national championship game 2 years in a row. So not a huge surprise there. But there is, again, a lot of talent in this conference top to bottom.
No question. Quality coaching, quality players, from 1 through 7. Outside of our team, and you better bring your lunch pail and your hard hat every week, and great players, great coaches, and the commitment to win at a high level throughout our league. So right now, though, we're focusing on ourselves to become the best football team we can be, certainly represent the university in the right way, and then just take them one at a time once we start game planning to start the season.
You know, I've asked you about new fields. I've asked you about new facilities over the years. This year it's new uniforms, Adidas. And, again, I know for a lot of that's for the kids. But, you know, again, certainly turned out very well. You're pretty pleased with the way things came out?
Yeah, I think so. You know, we're still getting in a little bit, you know, complete turnover from Nike. And, you know, we're all in with Adidas. I think that's the national logo. So today we kind of part of what we're going to be able to show this year we've got on display today. You know, for media day and pictures, and certainly the kids are excited. And you know, I think, you know, Dr. Teague, our athletic director, deserves a great deal of credit, and Jonathan Abels, our director of equipment operations, because we have a university-wide contract, a five-year deal with Team Adidas Direct, and there aren't many Division I schools that play FCS football that have that opportunity. So, you know, we're doing a lot of things right on and off the field, but certainly right now our focus is blocking and tackling, and you know, we look good today, but we certainly want to play well in those uniforms moving forward.
All right, Coach, good luck this season. Thanks.
Appreciate it, Justin.
All right, that is Clint Conk. And, again, the Bears opening, 2 weeks from tomorrow. It will be here before you know it. And I am ready for some college football. I know everybody else is, too. Al Watkins.
Yes, sir.
Here. Phil Elson in attendance.
Si, senor.
And Maddie. Yeah, you're here.
I'm kicking it with Bill Vickery right now.
Is he here? Wow. Thought I felt a dark
dark presence.
I said something about the dark lord of the Sith.
Talk about the future!
Came in here to be a little, fill the studio with smug.
Something you'll appreciate.
Uh-huh.
Coming up, we're going to finish with
yes.
The top 10 album opening classic rock themes, songs, whatever, tracks.
That
rather.
Sounded very confusing.
Okay.
So if you're going to broadcast that on the air, how would you say it?
Opening classic rock.
The first track on the album.
Right.
The best first tracks on an album.
Yes. There you go. Matt.
Thanks,
has
Matt.
It.
Thanks for
no
dumbing
problem.
It down. Crazy Mike's open for business. And tonight's all you can eat catfish. So get in there and get you some grub at Crazy Mike's. You might run into guys like Bill Vickery, a bunch of power brokers like